The problem is with us today, these people at least were honest and said, oh, I can't come, Lord. You know, I appreciate the offer. That's a glorious destiny, yes, but, you know, I'd just rather have this. We don't do that. We're too smart to do that. We're too savvy to do that. We don't come around and say, oh, no, I ain't coming to this feast. Sorry, Lord. It's too rich for my blood. Can't handle it. What we say is, yes, Lord, I'm coming. And then we don't go. Yes, Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. And then we don't pay the price. And not only do you miss the feast, God turns us over to tormentors because you're playing games with him. And of course, then there's the other side of that. Some of us may still be under the influence of what I call package deal Christianity. You know, that's the idea that we're all going to get basically the same rewards in the kingdom because we're justified by faith. People like that just want to say, look, if you could only grasp how much like real life the coming kingdom is going to be, maybe you'd be able to let go of some of the things you love so much and you're clinging on to in this life. I want to read you a parable that Jesus said in Luke 19. Luke 19, 11 through 26. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh unto Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Okay, the disciples had, he had taught them something. They were thinking the kingdom of God is going to come right away. And because he wants to reorient their minds to the truth, he's going to be gone for a long time, he tells them this parable. Right? He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. So each servant got 1 pound in this parable. 10 servants, each of them got 1 pound. Then it says, but his citizens, that's not his servants, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants, those 10 servants, to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And then you have the miserable wicked servant. He says, another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth I will judge thee, thou wicked servant. Knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I did not lay down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into a bank, and at my coming I might be required thine own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto one, every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away. Now, there's a lot of truths in that one parable I could go into, touch on, but I just want to focus on one aspect of it, okay? The reward aspect. The reward for faithfulness, for occupying till he's come, and using the talent God gives you, you know, using the money of the kingdom wisely, the reward for that is to have authority over cities. You have authority over a certain amount of cities, depending on your faithfulness you've been given, Lord, as with the pounds you've been given, okay? That's not a euphemism. That's not a religious platitude. That's not just some kind of type of shadow, okay? Among other things, this is exactly what the overcomer is going to receive, okay? We're going to receive authority over cities. If we attain to the first resurrection, if we're an overcomer, if we pay the full price, we're going to literally be ruling over entire cities. We're going to be ruling and guiding and judging other people for 1,000 years. My question is, are you ready for that? Are you ready to bear that kind of responsibility? Has your self-will been crucified to the extent that's necessary in order to rule and guide those cities according to the perfect will of God? Is God teaching you how to rule over your own body? How to rule over your own emotions, how to rule over your own desires, your own self-will, your own house today, so they can then use you to properly govern cities in the next age? Or is he going to have to set us aside because we refuse to let him do a complete work of crucifixion in our life? Are we going to pay the price that's required? Or are we going to end up disqualified because something, some goal, some desire, some relationship just something, some possession, we just can't let go. We just can't let it go. I'll read you one more scripture. It's in Matthew 19. Matthew 19, 27-28. This is the Matthew account of the rich young ruler. After Jesus tells him to sell his goods, you can't do it. He tells his disciples it's impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Matthew says that the disciples are astonished. And they ask Jesus, who could be saved then? And Jesus says, with man it's impossible. With God it's all things is possible. And then this is what Peter says after he says this. Peter says, Matthew 19, 27. Then answered Peter and said to him, behold, we have forsaken all and have followed thee. Okay, not we have forsaken 99%, 98%. We've forsaken our jobs, but not our family. We've forsaken our family, but not ourselves. Forsaken ourselves, but not, other. We have forsaken all. Every bloody thing you've called for, we've given. We've forsaken everything. We've held nothing back. It's all yours. Now, what shall we have therefore? And Jesus says, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What will the reward be if we forsake everything and follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes? The reward is, we're going to sit upon thrones. We're going to be judging people. Okay, once again, that's not a euphemism. That's not a religious platitude. God's faithful saints are going to sit on real thrones. We're going to function as real judges in a real kingdom. So my question again is, are you being equipped today to function as a real judge tomorrow in the coming kingdom? Is God going to be able to make you one of his judges? Or is he going to have to sideline you because you haven't allowed something in the Adamic man to be completely crucified? Yeah, I mean, it's very easy to get sidelined, folks. It's very easy to give up a whole lot of things for the Lord and have this one little area here where you hold off and say, I just can't deal with that. I just can't give that. I just can't give that, Lord. You have to go around that. You're not going to go around anything. No shortcuts, no exceptions. Everybody's going to pay the same price, the ones who get into this call and this people. You see, God can't entrust the kind of eternal power and authority to us that he desires to do, to give us, unless we allow him to do a complete, complete work of crucifixion. I mean, we're not talking here about salvation versus damnation. We're not talking about end up saved or end up going to hell here. We're talking about letting God prepare us and equip us and train us to be what he has called us to be in the coming kingdom, what he's destined us to be in the coming kingdom. You don't become a king and a priest automatically just because you've been born again. You don't become a ruler and a judge automatically just because you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, can speak in tongues, see visions, dream dreams. You only become the kind of person God needs as God trains us and equips us in real life situations. The kind of situations we'll probably be facing in the kingdom. Only in the kingdom, we're going to have the power and the authority to change the whole thing, to deal with it. Now we don't so much. And we only become these things as we allow Jesus to crucify the flesh and to deliver us from every last vestige of demonic influence in our personality, of those around us, whatever. We have to be absolutely pure, absolutely clean, absolutely devoid of self-will. The self thing must be killed before God can use us, can give us that kind of power and authority, use us in the capacity he wants to in the coming age. That's so few people on Mount Zion with Jesus. So few overcomers. There are so few people who are willing to pay that price. Everybody wants to crown. Everybody wants to glory. Everybody wants to be a judge and a prince and a king. But how many are willing to pay the price to get it? That's the question. And how many are going to be honest with themselves and say, look, I'm not really willing to pay this price. You know, when you find out there's an area in your life you can't lay down, there's something in your life you can't turn over to the Lord, you can't walk away from, can't leave behind, then you can't change yourself. But you can go to God and say, God, I can't let this thing go. I'm asking you to put a desire in my heart to let it go. I don't even desire to let it go right now. I love it so much I can't even desire to let it go. I'm asking you at least put a desire in my heart to let it go, and then eventually strengthen that desire to I hate it so I can let it go. That's the kind of honesty God's asking. He's not asking us to do the impossible. We can't change ourselves in many instances. We can't stop some of these desires that have been worked in us and been, cultivated in us forever. But he expects us to honestly look at it and then come to him and say, Lord, this is the situation as I see it. This is my condition as I see it. I'm lost and hopeless here. Not only do I not want to give it up, I don't have no desire to even want to give it up. And that's what you got to go to God and say, hey, just please, Lord, put a desire in me to even want to give it up. And then strengthen that thing until I can come to hate it enough that I will give it up. And I'm determined to give it up. I'm determined to walk away from whatever to have the destiny you have prepared for me. This is why we say we're harping. It's become a real burden in our hearts the last couple of months. That people be completely open and honest before God these days. We're not your guru. You have to be honest before us. Nobody has to call me and confess their sins to me. But you got to confess them and be honest before God if you want to make this calling. And be one of his priests and kings, judges and rulers in the kingdom. You have to get before him and ask him to show you any wicked ways that are left in you. Any wicked ways left in me. I got to go there and say, God, if I'm walking under the influence of any kind of demon spirits I don't realize, please show me. Show me what I need. You know, the time's running short. Maybe I can't see what's wrong right now, but at least I can ask you to show me what's wrong. That's the only kind of people that God's going to work with. He's not going to work with people who are deceiving themselves, who are trying to deceive him, who are trying to deceive others around him, who are saying they're going to pay the price, but they're not willing to pay the price, saying they're walking this walk and they're not really walking it. All right? He's not going to deal with those kind of people justly. He's going to deceive them. He's going to take them in their own craftiness and turn them over to tormentors. The only way to deal with God right now, if you're trying to attain this calling, is to be absolutely, totally open, honest, crystal clear with him. And say, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but please show me because I want to be clean on that day. When the time comes, I don't want anything in me, holding me, tying me to this earth. I want to rise with you, go into your kingdom, and be a priest and king with you. Okay, the price is high, people. The price tag is high, there's no doubt about it. But we can't afford to wait till it's too late. To find out, we weren't ready. Too late to find out all this little area over here. I really didn't get God. And something in the back of my mind knew I didn't give it to him. But, you know, I was trying to hope and to pray anyway that somehow he's going to overlook it and take me on anyway. No, man. We got to get it right. We got to get it right. We're not going to make it. And when you see people who have made it, there'll be no excuse. Because, oh, God, it was so hard. You know, those people, it was kind of easier for them. They didn't have that hard thing that I did. Nuh-uh. Everybody is going to be just as hard for Joe and Mary and Sue and everybody else. Everybody's got to go through the valley of death. Everybody's got to go through this gut-wrenching, horrible thing to lose their life. And if you don't make it, it's because you're not willing to go and be honest with God. And you're going to see people who have made it. And all the mouths are going to be shut. No excuses. There will be a company that stands on Mount Zion and rules with Jesus the next age. The only question is, will I be part of it? Will you be part of it? So it behooves us to get before God in all honesty, come clean, and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on in here, but whatever it is, show me, I want clean. I want it all out, every bit of it out. Amen? Amen. Anybody else have anything to share? Looks like we got Cameron. Brother Cameron going to come and share something.
Amen. Well, we are in exciting times, guys. I say exciting because Jesus is returning here on earth. There will be perfect judgment where people are going to see just what they missed out on because they couldn't give up their trust in their houses, land, cars, or their money. Revelation 6:10 says, they called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? Oh, what a day it's going to be. And Lord willing, we are going to be here to see it and be a part of that judgment. So, I would like to share something the Lord put on my heart, and that is how important it is that we have God's help in everything we do. It sounds simple, but in reality it's very difficult, because it comes natural to us to do it single-handedly and in our own strength. One problem is that we can do our daily business very well without the help of God. Therefore, when we do our work in our own strength, it often leads us to see what I can do, see how wonderful I am. It's about me, myself, and I. And not only is that very displeasing to God, but it makes a terrible example to other people. A person without the help of God in their life would be like a person without shoes. You can go anywhere and pretty much do anything without shoes. But without the covering of shoes, there is great danger by stepping on thorns, something hot, or getting bit by bugs. Likewise, without the covering of God, we are no longer able to live above our nasty co-workers, etc. If we would just accept God's help, excuse me, and guidance in our life, we would find things working out so much smoother. Now, of course, God is not a God that makes your life smooth and happy. It's possible. He sometimes gives us tests and trials in our daily life. But as Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So I ask you guys to ask yourselves, do I have God helping me throughout my day, or is this just all me? Thank you. That's all I had to share.
Amen. Lord, bro. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good word there, Cameron. Looks like Brother Jamie has something to share. Go ahead, Brother Jamie. You got the mic.
This is some of this is off the cuff because Dan, your message was so good, and I just want to thank you for that. And something that goes along with that, well, actually, everything I want to share here goes somewhat along with it. But I wanted to say first, after you were sharing there about being honest with the Lord, just being brutally honest and digging so deep within ourselves and dark little corners and just being honest with God, and that really truly does work, everyone. I've been doing that the past several months here as the Lord brings up things before me, and some things are difficult. And when you're brutally honest and just say, Lord, I don't know how I can give this thing up. I don't know. I do enjoy it. And when you're honest with the Lord and tell him that and say, I do like it, I do enjoy it, but I want to give it up. I want to give it up for your kingdom, to be a part of your kingdom, and to lay my life down. I can't even explain how, but he does. The Lord does come through, and he does help, and he does put a hatred in each of us that are truly asking for that. He will give you a hatred. It may come down an alley that you are, an avenue, I should say, that you're not even aware of, but the Lord is faithful, and he will answer that plea when we're honest with him. Last week I was convicted because Dan gave that he asked that question of has God been doing anything in our lives, and I didn't chime in, and I should have, because the Lord has been doing things in my life and showing me things. One of those things are as I go through Scripture. Matthew 10:39 says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And that scripture has been very real to me. And as I go through scripture with that in mind, I also ran across Luke 5:11, and this is right when Peter had been out fishing and all night and hadn't caught anything, and Jesus went out with them and told them to try again. And when they came back, this is Luke 5:11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And I must have read over that I don't know how many times in the past, but it's never hit me like it has this past couple of weeks. And I realized that they forsook their occupations and their ships and the prospect of making money. But this time for me, it brought out much more meaning. It meant, have I really been willing to forsake all? All that brings comfort to this life and all that makes me feel secure. when we're letting the Lord put his spotlight of truth on things in our lives, like Dan said last week, and he was talking about it tonight, to be asking the Lord, what's next, Lord? What else needs to be purged from my life? What about the cares of this life, even the ones that we do have to look after and maintain? Are they secondary to what should be priority? Is the Lord and truth above all that is beloved in our lives? Or is there something else to forsake? Is the Lord top priority in our life? Or does something else occupy our thoughts during the day? If so, we have something to forsake. Does knowing the truth about ourselves have top priority? Or is there dark corners that we would rather not have the light of God's truth to shine upon? Then not all is forsaken. Sister Jane Miller, in one of her lessons about, she was talking about repenting and forsaking sin. She says, forsaking is to forsake, that we shouldn't be tricked into thinking, I can't forsake this for the rest of my life, so I might as well go ahead. She says, no, don't say that. We must say, I'm delivered right now, and I'll let God worry about the rest of my life. And she adds, if you get it backwards, you'll lose. Then I was reading, just this week, I was reading John chapter 15, the Abide in Him chapter, and another verse jumped out at me, verse 13, and it's, greater love hath no man than a man laid down for his friends. And I don't want to take away from the first and foremost meaning of this verse, referring to Jesus laying down his physical life for us and his redemptive work upon the cross. But as I was reading it, the Lord dropped a thought into my heart, and that was, what about this verse flipped around? In other words, if we consider Jesus to be our friend, should we not be laying down our lives for him? Should we not be giving up our lives for him? Our lives should be growing strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I know they are not the right words to that song, but I believe they still apply. And then there was Luke 18:22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto them, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Again, not taking away from the original meaning of this verse on how hard it is for those who have much wealth to give it up, but what about those who have a wealth of knowledge? That is our own human logic and reasoning. Are we willing to give it up and sell it out for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit? Or what about the wealth of a good job that keeps us from pressing into Christ and the high calling? Are you willing to sell? Are you willing to sell out for Christ to be number one in your life? What about the wealth of a comfortable home and the security of that home? Are you willing to sell out to not have it beloved in your heart for the true riches in Christ Jesus? What about the wealth of a wife or a husband and family? Are they truly secondary to what should be truly beloved in your life? Are all the things of this earth growing strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace? So I was personally challenged the past couple of weeks dwelling on those scriptures, and just wanted to share that. And just one other thing, I did a little word search in the scriptures. I was looking for one particular verse, and I found out in quick order that there were many more. I was searching the word know ye not, as it reads in the King James, know ye not. And I was amazed at how many that were actually there. And the more modern way to word that, and the more modern versions, would be, don't you know? And I'm not going to give the references here, but they're found in Romans and Corinthians and also James. But they go like this. Don't you know that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Don't you know that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Don't you know that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Don't you know that we shall judge angels, how much more the things that pertain to this life? That's the one, and Dan had read that one tonight too. Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know that your bodies are the are members of Christ? Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Don't you know that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Don't you know your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Don't you know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. And I just wanted to share those verses, and I thought it fit in tonight. So that was all. I just thank everybody, and God bless. Good night.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Brother Rich, you got the mic. Go ahead.
Brother Jamie, that was a real blessing, brother. Thank you for that exhortation. It really met my heart. I too have a quote from Sister Jane Miller that I wanted to talk about. And it kind of goes along with what I shared the last couple of weeks. If you're willing to be honest with me, I'll give you the courage to be honest with yourself. And when we're honest before the Lord and honest with ourselves, especially when the word is coming forth like it was tonight, it's just such a sober message that we needed to hear. I needed to hear it. I'm going to have to get some work on some iron in my spirit. At least that's what the Lord's been telling me. So anyhow, I'm going to continue to be honest with the Lord, and I think we all need to. That's a real key to our walk with the Lord. And if we're not honest with him about these things, if we can't do it, we just have to ask him to help us to do it and give us the strength and the power by the Holy Spirit to... I have that desire to walk in this thing, but there's still that hesitation in my spirit, and I'll be honest about it. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but I'm sure going to give it one heck of a try. I love the Lord, and I know that you all do, but I know another thing, that God never does anything without an intention and a purpose and plan for each one of us. And I think the intention and purpose and plan for us in this room is to have that iron worked in us, and yet with that, to be honest and humble before the Lord. It's been a week of the Lord humbling me, and I just want to submit to the Lord and be what he wants me to be, no matter what the price. Amen.
Amen, Rich. God bless you. Thanks for sharing, brother. The Lord knows your heart. I'm sure he hears your prayers. Who else? Joey, did you have something? That's okay. We got time. Anybody wants to talk after Joey, feel free.
Should we have time?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, thank you, Dan, and greetings, everyone. I just got something short here, and that was an awesome message, Dan, and those are good words as well. Cameron and Jamie, and And Rich, thank you for your testimony there. Keep pressing on, brother. We love you. And we'll continue to pray for you as the Lord leads, okay? I'm just going to go ahead and read this real quick. First of all, a little scripture here. It says, "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar of God, unto God." And the word that stood out in that scripture to me sometime today was the word clean. And so, anyways, one of the things that's been standing out to me as we all interact here in the living room among the brethren is when somebody mentions the name of Jacob to to attribute to someone's deceitful nature or trickery and craftiness, it kind of perks me up in my spirit sometimes because it's true. And it's kind of, you know, what I've been pondering on for some time now, especially after getting yelled at several times, of course, in my own Jacob nature, which all of us must overcome in order to dwell victoriously in God's house. Now, I think that it is a very important thing to note also, because not everyone who is in the house of God will be overcomers. There is a saying around here sometimes that says, if you don't overcome, you will end up being overcome. Now, in these last days, especially in the lateness of the hour we're living in, I do not see any other option for those who's been hearing the third feast messages in this room and wherever else around the world, that if you do not overcome, you will be inevitably overcome. I believe because of the seriousness of the times we are living in, it is requiring those who's been having ears to hear and eyes to see about the high calling to go all the way with God, or else be overcome, and even possibly to actually come to a point of losing salvation unless you're specially quote-unquote lucky in the eyes of the Lord and still make it somehow in the kingdom. Dan mentioned many, many times about the spirit of deception that is so rampant in the last days, and so it is very, very serious to attain some level of victory against the angel of light in order to be an overcomer or else be overcome. Amen. As a preparation and qualification to even be on his journey to Bethel, much less dwell there as the Lord called him to do so, Jacob has decided and determined to put away all idols and be clean, changing their garments before the Lord. Somebody said recently to another person, he said, "Everyone around you is pressing on to pay the price in order to be free from all defilements. You are no different. And if you don't pay the price, we're going to chop your head off, spiritually speaking, of course." And you know, I do agree. I believe we have to come to a certain place in God. And I'm not saying I've arrived or claimed any special advancement in this. All I know is that it is a place in the Spirit that we all should be walking in. And that is a life and a walk that has absolutely nothing to lose. It is a life of losing everything to God without hanging on to anything or anyone any longer. It is a life of absolutely nothing to lose, because everything we have has already been given away and lost in God and for His kingdom purposes. It is a life of absolutely nothing to lose that would take us to a point of being able to boldly face death by fire, death by water, death by the sword, and all other sorts of bodily harm without regards to such consequences. We will do the will of the Father, because our lives are truly no longer our own, but only owned and possessed by Him who died and rose again. I've been thinking about this for some time, and it seems to be so difficult, especially with all the distractions, the cares of life, dealings with the weaknesses of the fallen body, etc., and all kinds of distractions that blinds us to the reality of losing all things in God until we have nothing else to lose. And so it is very difficult. It is also very sad, because as I look at the life of Jesus in the Word, it makes me ask, Lord, how did you do it? Of course, most of us would hate to hear His answer to that question, because in order to get life, divine life, we must pay up front with death. and it's a lifetime payment, not just some sacrifice here and there. That is what and that is what we all hate, okay, the payment. Most people would rather love to live in Christian religion because we hate God's way of living in the life of His Son Jesus Christ. We hate the price that comes with that divine life. And the reason why people hate to pay the price necessary to walk in the life of Jesus is because people basically love the cares of this life. They love life and this world loves them. And so Jacob preached to the people saying, "Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments and let us arise and go up to Bethel and I will make there an altar unto God." I believe the Lord is calling us to be clean, and it sure is a completely different level of standard of cleanliness in the days we're living in today as compared to Jacob's day. There are many different levels of uncleanliness in the lives of Christians that Satan has been taking advantage of violently in the lives of God's people today. Demons and wicked spirits, besetting sins and other abominations and that contradicts the commandments of God concerning spiritual moral laws. But I believe that the most difficult means of making ourselves clean before God is the good things, the Christian things, the innocent things, the family things, the comfortable things, the security in wealth and money things, the happiness of being healthy and alive things, the things of life that keeps us from coming to a place of having nothing else to lose, therefore being completely free to serve God's will and His kingdom without fear. Even if we have to stare at death straight in the eye and be able to say, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. I will do the will of the Father the way Jesus did, because His life is the only life worth living, and my life is nothing but death that belongs to this world and Satan." It is coming to a place in the Lord where we no longer have anything to lose that will cause a life of boldness to rise up to the occasion, to engage in battle and be determined to be victorious at all costs. Be bold to say what God says without compromise. Be bold to draw out our sword and strike it to whomsoever at whatsoever circumstances as the Lord leads, to exalt His truth above all else. Be bold to exalt God's will above our bank accounts, above our health, above any family unity and happiness. It is a life that's got nothing to lose, that will be courageous to do the will of God, even above our very own next breath. Why? Because such a life of having nothing else to lose is a life that is completely committed unto Him who judgeth righteously. 1 Peter says, "For even unto hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." Jesus was absolutely fearless, that even though He had the power to destroy all the false accusers and those who abused their authority to shame Him to the most brutally shameful ill treatment, yet the joy of the Lord was set before Him to do the will of the Father, to suffer in obedience all the way to the cross without sending fire down from heaven to consume all His enemies. A child of God will have no fear of losing his security, because he already lost his own security in order to gain more of God as his divine security. He will have no more trust in money, in his job, or in his family inheritance. He will no longer fear death or any harm, because he has absolutely nothing else to lose as he exalts the will of the Father above everything or anything that is of this world that used to cultivate his life and security, his success and prosperity. In order to go on to perfection and to be of the Lord's overcomers, I believe we have to come to a place of being completely clean. It is a life of losing everything that God is requiring of us to lose until there's nothing else for us to lose. Therefore, we'll carry out God's will and His divine authority against the kingdom of darkness with no fear whatsoever, until there's nothing that's left for Satan and this world to do except lose our necks to their swords fearlessly for the kingdom of God. Lastly, a scripture says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Amen. Good night.
Praise the Lord. Good word, Joey. Good word. Alrighty. Well, anybody have anything to share in the room? Anybody else? Oh, well, hang on a second. We got Brother Seth here. I didn't know you had anything.
Hello, everyone. Wanted to say thank you to Rich for his testimony, and Jamie, and Joey, and Cameron. Very good words. And wanted to thank Dan for his excellent message tonight. And, you know, one of the things that he was talking about of being completely truthful and honest, and actually others shared as well about being truthful. Personally, for myself, sometimes I'll admit knowing the truth can be scary because of what it all can mean to you, because you'll have to give up things and realize what you truly are. You may look bad, the truth hurts, like they say, but it's definitely worth it. And not too long ago I had to honestly look at things and that and deal with it, and it wasn't a pretty picture to ask for the truth about oneself because of all that it entails, but it is definitely worth knowing the truth to work things out in your life. And that was pretty much all I had to share. I just wanted to thank Dan for that good message. So good night, everyone.
Thank you, Seth. That was very good. All right, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your help and mercy. Anybody else in the room have anything to share before we shut her down? No? I guess we'll shut her down then. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week, God willing, and the river don't rise.